tune. Yes? Good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So, my dear devotees, I wish to kidnap you. We will go today in our might to Vrindavan Dham. Is that all right?
Yes.
Keshava, is that all right?
Yes.
Good. we will. It is described in Vrindavan Mahimamrita that the devotee should imagine that he leaves the whole world behind. We can, in our mind's eye, see how we are rising and rising and seeing planet Earth like a ball. Then we go to the border of the universe and we break through the shells as if we would break through a wall. What happens when we are out of the material universe? That is very correct. We first come to a river which separates the material and the spiritual world. It's called the Viraja River. And without any anxiety, trusting in Krishna, we will swim over that river, and on the other side we enter into the Brahman effulgence, a big ocean of light which surrounds us. And there we see many Vaikuntha planets. And finally, the highest place is shaped like a lotus flower. And we enter and we are told, stop! Are you qualified to move on? At that time we say, no, I don't find much qualification in my heart. Then on what strength do you want to enter Goloka Vrindavan? Then we have to know the word. We are connected to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has come to save the most fallen of the Kali Yuga, and here is our qualification. That we have to remember as the right spot. We will chant, Nitai Go, Nitai Go, Gauranga, Gauranga. And then we will be ushered in. And I would love to do this now with you. Read to you a few verses from Sri Krishna Lila Stava. I believe you all have seen this book. I have to find something. Gopiso bhakya sambhavyam Godhuli churita alakam Alakapata summana Shikandam ruchirekshanam O Krishna. The gopis look to you as the source of their good fortune. The locks of your hairs were strewn with dust from the cows. Bound to those locks were flowers and peacock feathers, and your eyes appeared very charming. You must know, when Krishna came home from the pasturing grounds in Vrindavan, he walked behind the cows. And the cows, there were millions of cows, would walk over the dusty lanes of Vrindavan, and as they walked, a lot of dust came up. Mother Bhumi was very much pained by the sharp hooves of the cows, who dug into her soft surface. But when Krishna's soft lotus feet, who walked right after the cows, covered the wounds of Mother Bhumi, Mother Earth, immediately the wounds were closing. Mother Bhumi felt very ecstatic. By the medicine of Krishna's lotus feet, even a dead person can be awakened to life. What to speak of Mother Earth, who had been a little bit hurt by the cow's hooves. So Krishna's whole body, and especially his black hair, were covered with dust, white, beautiful dust. And his cowherd boyfriends, who saw that now it's time they would soon enter Vrindavan, they took some cloth and they wiped Krishna. Then the devatas came down from the heavenly planets to hear Krishna's flute play, and as they heard Krishna's flute play, they were amazed about the varieties of his melodies, and they had brought a garland with them to place around Krishna, because Krishna's garland was now very dusty. But Krishna did not want to depart or part from that garland. Do you know what could be a reason why Krishna didn't want to give his old dusty garland in return to a beautiful garland from the heavenly planets? Deep question. Yes, we will start with the young generation. Yes?
Because Mother Yashoda gave it to him?
You are very close to the answer. Yes, almost. Could there be Akhandati? You had a thing? An idea?
I was thinking it had been made dusty by the cows and loved the cows.
That's also a good way. No, it was... it had been prepared by Radharani, and but you are right. The garland which was prepared by Radharani had come into Yashoda's hands, and she had given that garland, that Radharani made garland, to Krishna, and he certainly didn't want to part from it, even though it was dusty and old. Hare Krishna. So this is the scene which we hear the Prabhu say. I hope you pay full attention to this. So now Krishna, in his hairs of lock had flower, in his locks of hair had flowers, and there was also a peacock feather, and Krishna's eyes appeared charming, because, you know, when Krishna came to Vrindavan, or when Krishna walks, his eyes are very charming, because he, please watch me, he always will look like this, because he wants to look and look at all the devotees. So especially charming is when he has what is called sidelong glances. Sidelong glances is, Keshava, when I don't look like this to you, but if I look like this to you, you know, from the side. So Krishna had sidelong glances and looked at all his devotees. Now these sidelong glances are very, very important, because yes, like that, you know everything. So these sidelong glances are very important for something which is now soon to happen. So Krishna, you are so beautiful with your bashful smiles and shy sidelong glances. Oh Krishna, you have a style of dressing which entices the gopis, and you made them totally attracted to you. I offer my respects to you. So Krishna's dressing style is just outrageous, my dear devotees. You must know he always has a yellow dhoti. The color of that yellow dhoti is a little bit like Keshava's shirt today, only it is more shining. It is more golden shining. So this color is very good. It reminds us of Krishna's dhoti, Keshava. Please, when you wear this particular t-shirt, please think of Krishna's dhoti. So it was really shining. Then Krishna usually had something like a cloth here around the belt, and a little tiny thread with little belts who were made from jewels. So it made ling, 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 and Krishna came ling, ling, ling. Then he used to have a skirt. Well, it was sometimes reddish, because he liked, for the contrast, yellow dhoti, red, a little bit like Achyuta Priya, a little darker still, and more flashing the colors. Yeah. So that was there. Then he had usually something like a scarf around. And then the fourth piece was a turban. And Krishna's turbans, my dear devotees, was turbans. Then there was gunja berries here. Some of his friends had put sticks of some favorable tree there. He looked really wild, you know. He liked to dress himself. And then Krishna would usually, he runs through Vrindavan, but he has a special step in which he runs. It's called skipping. Do you know what is skipping? I highly recommend it for children, this step. You know how to skip? Could you please do it? Or just to get...
Like you...
Yeah, something like a house. Yes. Like this. Thank you. You have reminded us of Krishna's step. Yeah. So Krishna would skip that word. Skipping means a very energetic way of walking, a very dancing way of walking, and a playful way of walking. Oh, yeah. So we can just see Krishna with this wonderful yellow flashing dhoti, red shirt, bells all over, also anchor bells on the feet, a turban with twigs, just in joyful abundance, you know, just entering and skipping through the forest of Vrindavan. What a wonderful picture. And then Krishna comes home. How do you think Mother Yashoda will react when her darling boy, his body as beautiful and effulgent as a blackish, bluish monsoon cloud, in which there is a flash, you know, and but covered all with white dust. What do you think Mother Yashoda did when he came home? What would Akhandadi do, Akuntita do, when the little boys come full with dust? Say, yes, give him a bath. You immediately come. But Mother Yashoda needed to be there in the kitchen to oversee the kitchen the preparations which were served in the evening. So she would hand her darling boy in the hands of some gopis who would give him a bath with from diamond pitchers, some very lukewarm water, and would glide down Krishna's beautiful body. And then they would rub the body, and Krishna would sometimes, just for joking, make ouch. And the Mother Yashoda went in and said to the little girls, don't act so harshly with Gopal. You must have pinched him. But by Krishna's smile, Mother Yashoda could see that he was just joking, you know. So this is the scene. Krishna comes home, he gets a bath. Victory to you who were bathed. Oh, here's even Mother Yashoda. By your mother, you wore handsome bracelets on your wrists, a white lotus in your headdress. So in the turban he also had a white lotus. Sometimes Krishna didn't have a turban, he just had a cloth here around, and then a lotus, white lotus inside. He was a good dresser. And a brilliant pearl necklace on your neck. Oh, Krishna, you wore lovely tinkling anchor bells, golden jewelry, heavenly garlands. Oh, apparently, sometimes he accepted the garlands of the demigods. Fragrant perfumes. Krishna smelled so wonderful, his fragrance. Already Krishna's natural fragrance is like a lotus flower. This fragrance, which is very subtle and cooling, but then there is, and Krishna's body emits like a smell of musk mixed with the lotus, and then some wood, the aguru wood, that would also be mixed together. And anyone who would smell this mixture of the fragrance which emanated from the pores of Krishna's transcendental body was captured. And this fragrance sometimes causes a great, great problem in Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, because he may be able to disappear at certain opportune moments. For instance, when he has stolen some butter and no one should know that it was him, so he can run away, but his fragrance doesn't run with him. The fragrance is not so fast, it stays on in the room. And then the gopis know Krishna by the fragrance, they know it lingers on. Hare Krishna. Isn't this wonderful, my dear devotees? Then the last of this, Vilasa lalita smera karva lila valokana sukapalyana samvishta rada samlapa nivrita. Your glances danced with gentle smiles. So Krishna's glances are dancing with gentle smiles as you looked forward to your future amorous sports and showed a mood of youthful pride. Comfortably sitting on your bed, you took pleasure in talking about Sri Radha. So when Krishna came home after he was first bathed, and then he went to his bed, which was nicely arranged by his friends and the maid servants of the house, and then he was indulging in the comforts of being fanned. He liked to be fanned when he came back. He liked that his feet were massaged. He was entertained by music. The cowherd boys would do a lot of music. They sang usually songs, and there were other cowherd boys who were playing the flute to accompany the singing cowherd boys, and the cowherd boys usually chose songs about Radharani and the gopis from their repertoire. And then Krishna engaged in pleasant conversation. For instance, once it so happened that the moonlight came into Krishna's room in the form of beams, and there were some parrots who thought these beams were stationary. They were like sticks, and they wanted to land on the beams of the moonlight. But obviously, when you try to rest your feet on a beam or ray of a moonlight, it gives in. They were repeatedly, you know, trying to sit down and fall down, and in this way, Krishna saw this, and he covered his. First, he did not want to laugh about this, because only small boys laugh about such things, not big boys. But then he saw that, and he first tried to control his laughter, but then he just had to laugh about the parrots who were mistaking the moonbeams to be landing places, and he just laughed. And then he very pleasantly conversed with his friends about the foolish parrots, you know. So these were the pleasant conversations between Krishna and his friends. And he was most pleased when a close friend brought into the discussion the topic of Sri Radha. He was very pleased because, see, when we hear about the activity of a person who loves us very much, we become very pleased. Imagine, Ananta Prabhu, you are in the Calcutta airport, totally hungry, and then you get some message about how Keshava, Govinda and Vasudev at home have talked about you very lovingly, and how Keshava cannot sleep properly because he waits for you to come and tell him the news from India. Then you feel, oh my little nephew, you feel like, wow. You feel this very much moved at that time to hear of the activities and talks of someone who loves you, isn't it? That's very natural. So Krishna liked to very much hear about Radharani. You must know, Radharani wants very much to meet Krishna, but sometimes the nights are without the moon, and Radha has to learn to walk through the dark nights. So what she does is, she learns to walk in her courtyard with blindfolded eyes. She has to learn this so that she doesn't hit a tree or so. When I was a child, I also learned to walk in the darkness. And we as children did this. We blindfolded our eyes and we walked in the apartment. And somehow by this our senses, inner senses, would develop so much that I could, even now, I can walk in a dark forest without, I can feel where the trees come because I learned it as a child. Many times in my life I've walked in dark places, but because I learned it as a child, I somehow feel, bang, now don't continue, there will be a tree or something. And you, so Radharani does the same thing in order to meet Krishna. She has to walk through the dark forest, and therefore she has to learn to somehow feel that there are objects which are obstacles. And this is how she practices in the darkness. Sometimes Radharani also goes to Krishna when the forest paths are slippery from the monsoon. So what she does is she catches buckets full of water and pours them in the inside of the courtyard so that she can learn to walk through the mud without slipping and falling with her zari into the mud, you know. So she learns this out of love for Krishna. Sometimes she has to walk through areas in the forest which are thorny. So Radharani, in order to train herself to meet Krishna against all obstacles, will take thorns, lay them out in the inner court of her house, and walk with her delicate, soft lotus feet over these thorns, just to meet Krishna. Now sometimes it happens, Keshava, that when Srimati Radharani walks through the forest, that there are snakes in the forest. Snakes which sometimes have diamonds on their heads. This happens. So Radharani is usually very afraid of, very shy. And who would not be afraid to walk past snakes? But when Radharani goes through the forest and there is a snake which goes and threatens Radharani, she is not afraid when she goes to Krishna. She is afraid that the snake will make so much noise that others will hear it. So she will take her soft hand and cover the mouth of the snake so that the snake, I'm coming here, don't give me away, so to say, you know, don't give it away. So Krishna hears about it, that Radharani walks over thorns, over mud, over blindfolded just to meet him, and his heart is very much moved. He very much likes to hear it, because if we hear about the activities of those who love us, we very much become pleasantly affected. This is our nature. So Krishna also has this nature. We like to hear also. When Ananta is in India, we want to hear here in New York, what is he doing? Is he eating sufficiently? What has he experienced, you know? Oh, Ananta is sometimes very adventurous. Hopefully he has not gone in any risk area. You know, so we feel like that. We want to hear any news, what is happening. You know, so Krishna like this likes to sit on his bed, you know, with his headdress, a lotus flower, surrounded by friends who massage his lotus feet, fan him, and do all kinds of things. And then he wants to hear, and what is about Radha? Any news? He wants to hear this. So this is how wait a minute, it's almost finished. Then it goes to You wandered along the banks of the Yamuna. This is one of Krishna's very important places where Krishna likes to walk. And you came to the shore of the Kaliya lake. I bow down to you, whose nectarian glance brought the poisoned Brajavasis back to life. One time, it so happened that Krishna walked on the shore of the Yamuna, and he saw in the distance something unusual. So he came closer and closer, and then he thought for a moment, oh no, it is not true. What was not true? What was Krishna worried about? It was actually his cowherd boys who had drunken the water as of the Yamuna, like they always do. But on that day it was poisoned by the Kaliya snake. Exactly, exactly. And then Krishna saw these cowherd boys and also cows who were lying there dead. But then he threw his nectarian glance on the Brajavasis and brought them back to life. How did you do this? Your band of cowherd friends, utterly amazed, could only guess. How did you do this? You know, I mean, to look at someone and bring him back to life just by looking. How do you do this, Krishna? Do you put some medicine in your glance and then you inject that in the person you look at? How do you actually do this? Or is a glance going like a laser beam through the skin, you know, and there it does some surgical restoration of life? How did you do this, Krishna? Sanatana Goswami says, your band of cowherd friends, utterly amazed, could only guess. Victory to you who display your hidden powers to protect your dear devotees. This is how this section ends, with the glorification of Krishna's hidden powers. He has power in his glance, you know, so much power as to bring someone back to life. That is when we go to the deities. This is a very important point for all of you Radha Govinda Bhaktas. When we go to the deities, our desire is that Krishna actually looks at us. Our desire is, obviously we would like to see the deity with our eyes, but our main purpose is, here Krishna, here I am, please look in my direction. And this being bathed by the glance of Krishna has tremendous potency. Someone who had been standing before Krishna is almost invulnerable. Is that an English word? You can invulnerable, yeah, invulnerable by Maya. You must be knowing that Duryodhan had a body which was as powerful as thunderbolts. That means he could actually not be killed up till here. The reason is twofold. One reason is that Lord Shiva created this part of the body, and the down part, from the hip downwards, was created by Parvati, Shiva's wife, so that no woman would be able to resist the charms of Duryodhana's lusty body from the hip downwards. Hare Krishna. No need to go into any detail. So that was the reason why Bhimasena could not do any harm to Duryodhana. He took his club and bang! Bhimsena is extremely strong, I mean, and just took his club and bent against the chest, boom, and it just went away. It couldn't hit Duryodhana. So what to do? He needed to be beaten here, where that thing was not there. So another reason why Duryodhana was invulnerable in the upper body was because each there was a practice which Gandhari did each morning. Duryodhana came to Gandhari, one of the most chaste women of history, and Gandhari took her blindfold a little up and just looked at him, at his naked body, and this way gave him the benefit, the result better, of following the laws of chastity. Now Duryodhana was naked except for this part, which obviously was covered with a gamsha, because he was a grown-up man and he would, it would be offensive for him to go naked before his mother. So because Gandhari was so absolutely chaste, and so I mean she had renounced her seeing power, her seeing, when she heard that her husband was blind and had taken on the same blindness voluntarily upon herself. So every day the power of the mother bathed. Mothers are very powerful, my dear boys. The well wishes of the loving mother is very powerful and necessary for us. So every day she was, he was immunized. When Gandhari, when after the battle of Kurukshetra, when all her sons had died, including Duryodhana, she received Yudhishthira and the Pandavas, and she as a mother felt very, 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 very sad that all her boys, all her sons had been killed. And he was very, she was very sad and also very angry at Yudhishthira, the king. So to somehow do something with her anger, she just lifted her blindfold a little bit, and the glance came. Krishna said to Yudhishthira, "Yudhishthira, stand here. This is dangerous, what will now come." And the glance came. "Keshava, don't be afraid, but it's a little intense. No need, you can sit there, it will not harm you." and it came, it burned the nails of Yudhishthira, and his beautiful feet, I mean he was Dharmaraj, where the nails were burned, made ugly, because, yes, this is how powerful the glance of a chaste lady is. Now imagine how powerful the eyes of God are. If Gandhari's eyes are so powerful, therefore our dream in life is to somehow be seen by Krishna. When we go to Radha Govinda, you have to learn the art. Our Pujariji, Mataji and Peterji know Govinda looks a little, somehow bent a little in the direction of Srimati Radharani, I have noticed, and you have to just maybe very respectfully move a little. You know, please look at me. You know, that's our desire. It's a very necessary that the Lord looks at us and doesn't look past us. So this is a little of the Katha, which imagine what is in this little book. It's so amazing. So after you have done this, have heard about this, then you just pray, "Please be victorious by revealing these pastimes in my heart," and then you make obeisances number 45. So I request you to repeat after me. this little prayer, and then we will all do our obeisances and experience bliss in our Krishna consciousness while thinking of what we have heard. Krishna's doti, he's skipping through the forest, his fragrant perfumes, his how he sits on the bed and likes to hear about Sri Mati Radharani, and how he then one day wandered along the banks of the Yamuna, and how he saw his cowherd boyfriends and the cows lying on the bank, and how he glanced at them. So we fix our mind on whatever we can. So please repeat after me, and then we will all go to the ground and experience the bliss of paying and obeisances. Okay? Ready? Please be victorious.
Please be victorious.
By revealing.
By revealing.
These pastimes in my heart.
These pastimes in my heart.
And now you have to pay your obeisances. Vishnu Buddha, Vishnu Buddha. small parking area. Hare Krishna. So, this is my little gift for all of you. Now let us conclude.